10 years ago, on this date, December 12th, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a researcher in California put up a web page on the Internet. The Internet had existed for years, but not the World Wide Web. And this page, designed by Paul Kuntz at the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center, was the first web page on a U.S. computer. Paul Kuntz recalls being sold on the idea at a meeting in Switzerland with web creator Tim Berners-Lee.
So he showed me the web browser that he had. That was the only browser at the time. And what sparked my interest is when he did a query into a database, which was a help system that I knew resided on a mainframe computer at CERN. This was September 13th, Friday the 13th in 1991.
And at CERN in Switzerland?
In Switzerland, yeah. That's right. So he sent the query, and then coming back into his browser window was the results of the query. It was a list of documents that might answer your questions. And that sparked my interest.
Explain for us, please, the difference between the Internet and the World Wide Web.
The Internet is a set of interconnecting computers of which many different kinds of services run on top of the Internet. Email is a service, for example. Or if you've ever transferred a file, FTP is a service. And the web was an additional service that was put on top of the Internet.
So, to go back to Switzerland for a moment, Tim Berners-Lee shows you the search capability of this page.
Right.
And this link, and you say, aha, I can do this back home?
Exactly. Because back home at the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center, we had a database of references to scientific papers related to high-energy physics. It consisted of about 200,000 entries, and this database was used by physicists all around the world, but with great difficulty. You either had to log into the database, and then you were on some foreign computer that you didn't really know how to use. The syntax to give the commands to the database was awkward and not very user-friendly. Or you had to send the commands via email and wait for a response. There were various ways to access it, but they were all fairly painful.
You know, it sounds like you're talking about something 30 or 40 years ago rather than 10.
No, there's still some databases which only have that kind of interface. But what I saw was that people would see a web page. They still have to enter the detailed search terms correctly, but there would be a page that told you what you had to do as a reminder, and examples of how you would search by author, how you would search by a keyword in the title of the paper, and things like that.
And would links be part of that first page?
That's right.
It has been called, I don't know by whom, retroactively, I guess, a killer app. Do you agree with that?
Yes. The reason it was a killer app is because it was the first content on the web that people wanted to get at. And what really made it go fast was a little over a month later, I was at a conference in southern France. There was over 200 physicists there, all of them interested in advanced computing topics. And that's the first time that Tim Berners-Lee gave a live demo outside of CERN. Most of his talk, he had about 45-hour to talk, was about the technology behind it, and most people were mostly bored most of the time. But as the grand finale for that talk, he connected live through his web browser to the Slack database, and then everybody sort of said, wow, that's cool. Because everybody there knew that database. They knew how hard it was to access that database, and they saw the ease in which it was done via the web. And you can imagine that all these people coming from over 100 different institutes around the world, as soon as they got home, they wanted to tell their colleagues that there was a new interface to the Slack database, and it was called the World Wide Web, and it's really cool.
Dr. Kuntz, thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Okay.
Paul Kuntz of the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center in California.